Those I haven't seen in a while that are here, amen. God bless you guys. We love you guys. And I'm real excited right now. I spoke with the leadership earlier this morning downstairs. We had a real powerful session there, and we're just in a real good season right now. The season of God is always be better than the best season of the enemy, amen. So as we get ready for the word here this day, we are on our last gift that we're going to be speaking on. That's the gift of the teacher, amen. We've already gone through six of the motivational gifts, amen, found in Romans, and now we're going to go on the final one, amen. Let's just go to Romans 12, verse 6. On the exit, when you exit the church, amen, there's going to be an usher on either door, amen, and you're going to get this handout. You have the handout that that covers the 20 characteristics that make up the giver, amen? But on the way out, we have what we call the adult motivational gift profile sheet. That's the scorecard, I want to call it, amen, where it gives a list of the seven that we have gone over. You'll transfer your grade, whatever the points was on the seven gifts, and then you'll be able to see, amen, what your first, second, and third gift, or it just might be one you excelled in. So that way you can know, and then if you feel the Lord is moving in your life, and God is doing something, you just know He is. You may not be there yet, but you know God's moving. Amen. I want you to share with me in our time after service and the prayer night on Wednesday, Friday services, and all the in-betweens. Or you might call me on the phone. Amen. And I would love to know what your gifts are. Because don't be surprised if I put you to work right after you let me know. Amen. So in that handout will be given to you at the end of the service as you exit the sanctuary. Amen? And some of you, again, take a picture of it with your phone. That way, if you misplace it or something, and those viewing online, Sister Lily, if you would once again please put your phone number for those that are inquiring of this profile sheet. Amen. That they wanted to grade themselves and see where they're at in regards to the gifts, which is the first, second, third, or what have you, amen. Sister Lily will be more than willing to get these handouts out to you, amen. I'm going to be doing a lot of reading here this day, amen. But I was speaking to Pastor Philippe, for those that really want it are going to be listening. If you're just here, somebody drug you to church, it's okay. You already got touched, amen. But we're really wanting to know our gifts, and we're really wanting to use our gifts for others, amen. And this is the way we're going to cross others over, by using our gifts, not just knowing our gifts. I'm going to open up with the same verse, Romans chapter 12, verse 6. In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well, amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. We love You. We thank You for this great start in You, Lord. But in faith and in advance, we thank You also for allowing us to be positioned not only to get off to a good start this day, but to finish strong, Lord Father God. To finish strong, to walk out here today, or those viewing on Facebook, knowing our gifts and applying our gifts that edify the body of Christ, that build the body of Christ, that empowers the church. So when we go out to the streets and the highways and byways, we will go in the authority of the person that is the head, who is Christ. In the name of Jesus, we thank You, we love You, and we all say in one accord, amen. Right there where you're sitting down, I want you to give the Lord a good, good clap offering, amen. Praise the Lord. I'm excited here today, you know, knowing that the Lord is moving right now. Whenever the Lord is moving, he's touching somebody, He's wanting to use somebody. He just don't move to move. Amen? Everything He does is with purpose, is intentional for your life and my life and the benefiting of others, amen, that are lost and bound, amen. I just want to, before I go and I start on the 20 characteristics, I just want to read a little bit about your gifts. You know, there's thousands and millions of people in this world and just seven gifts. So does that mean some could have the same gifts? Yes, amen. But still, the person of the same gift with the other person are totally still two different people. Amen. So let's read. It says, we are indeed wonderfully made and like snowflakes. No two of us are exactly alike. Even though thousands share your gift, your expression of it will be unique. Amen? Even if you are an identical twin, you are going to have differences that affect your individual performance. Amen? These differences come from the influence of countless variables in your life. For instance, your health. While for some the event of sickness or injury may dwarf giftedness, for others it may be the very thing that challenges them to rise above limitations and use their gifts in an even greater way. Other variables are hereditary: education, culture, economics, marital status, location, talents, self-image. Well, the list is endless, and each one has an impact on your life and the way you use your gift. This should help you, give you some feeling for the magnitude of God's plan in creating such a unique individuals, even though amazingly we all operate primarily influenced by one of the seven motivational gifts. Amen. Somebody may have, there might be a couple that have the gift of the one I'm going to be speaking about, of the teacher today. But one of you grew up in the hood and the other one grew up in the suburb. Amen. Same gift, but two different people there. Amen. That are effectively able to be more effective. Amen. So there's many variables in the gifts that God has given our lives that not a one of us are identical and operate identical with our gift as another person does. Just as we all have fingerprints, but every last set of fingerprints are different. Even though they kind of look identical, if you were to put your fingers up with somebody else's finger, they would look pretty darn close. But when you put some ink on them, some of you know what I'm talking about, amen? I'm not talking ink off a pen, amen? I'm talking some ink where you had to roll them, amen, everyone. I remember I thought I was slick. When I was time to do it, I would give a little smudge. I would hit it, and I would drag it a little bit, amen? If it was a young worker there booking me, amen, I could get by every time. But if it was someone that's been there, they were up on the little, you know, little dragging of the finger when you would roll it, amen? Nevertheless, our fingerprints are all different. There's all kinds of different needs in our city, amen, that the seven gifts that we've been speaking about covers every last one of the needs in our inner city here this day. God has given us the goods to make it happen, to use our gifts well. He has given us certain gifts, some of us the same gift, and doing certain things well, whether it's in the hood or in the suburb, amen, whether it's at Walmart or on the 30th, 40th floor downtown, one of the downtown skyscrapers, amen. Nevertheless, there's many variables within your gift, amen, because there's many variables in this world that we live in, many needs in this world that we live in, and God is wanting to use your life. He's wanting to use my life, amen, in making a difference by not only knowing our gifts, but using our gifts on the behalf of others. The Greek word here for a person who teaches is didasko, which simply means to teach or to give instruction. As we go to the first one, I'm going to be reading fast. I'm going to take one big breath right now. How many took one big breath before? Amen, back in the days. And you saw how long you could hold it. Amen? The first one presents truth in a logical, systematic way. Amen? It's on your handout that you have. That's number one. Now, some of you are going to get bummed out today. Amen? And that's okay. Even some of you looking through Facebook. Amen? I ain't going to judge everybody here. I'm going to judge myself. I wasn't a school guy. Amen? I passed high school. I graduated with red 60s because my dad was the principal. Amen? But I never did no homework. I never grew my education. So I finally have found one that's really, I know, not my gift, though I can do it. I'm not going to get in a debate with somebody saying, no, that's my gift too. That's my gift. It's not. Amen? But I'm going to give it a shake at it. Amen? Looking back over the school days, you can always tell the teachers who had this gift because their lectures were in outline form, points 1, 2, and 3, A, B, C. The procedures were systematic. It was easy to take notes. Amen? So back in the days, the teachers, even of today, amen, now when I put my messages together, I do everything like that. And it doesn't mean I got the gift. No, it doesn't mean I just, over the years, I learned how to take notes, amen, and to be able to preach in the way I take the notes, amen. So I have this, but it still ain't my gift, amen. I'm going to skip, go a little, move a little quick. Number two, validates truth by checking out the facts. You're not just going to say, oh, okay, I got you, pastor, amen. You're going to check the facts out. See, the problem is sometimes we stay checking out the facts too long, amen? But let's move on, amen? Validates truth by checking out the facts. A family in our church recently got a ferret for a pet. That's that long rat-looking weasel, amen? A ferret. A lot of people have them as pets, amen? A family in our church recently got a ferret for a pet. He's an animal who seems to be actively looking for something all the time, in corners, under chairs, in jackets. The word ferret has come to mean to search out. Amen? And that is what the teacher is doing all the time, ferreting out the truth. Amen? Somebody says something, I always say, no, I don't care what he said, I'm going to check it out first. Amen? You just ain't that gullible. Amen? You got to check out the facts. Amen? Number three, loves to study and do research. Amen? Since teaching is my secondary gift, I can relate 30 to this characteristic. I love to research. When our boys were in preschool age, I wanted to be at home, but there were spare hours in my day, so I began to freelance work writing junior high school materials for both David C. Cook Company and Union Gospel Press. They would send me the assignments, and I would get out my commentaries and concordances and begin to research the scripture. I'd often spend up to 20 hours on one lesson. Why do you spend so much time on that research? Don would ask. Couldn't you cut it down a bit? The thought horrified me. What if I didn't look into the subject thoroughly enough and wound up writing something inaccurate? I could visualize thousands of Sunday school teachers passing on my marred material to trusting students. The errors would be multiplied in vast numbers of innocent minds, and I would be responsible. My research had to be complete. Besides, I loved doing it. Because of their love of study and research, teachers also like to have a large personal library of research books. It goes on to give a name right now. It says Dick Mills. For you that don't know, those viewing through, Dick Mills is the one that gave our founder, Pastor Sonny, many moons ago, amen, our two promise scriptures in Isaiah 45, 2 and 3, and Isaiah 54, 2 and 3. He was the one that gave a word to our founder, the prophet that God would use, and why we're still here 50 plus years later, still growing all around the world. Let's thank the Lord right now for Dick Mills, amen, the prophet. Let's thank the Lord also for our founder, Pastor Sonny Argazzoni, along with his wife, Sister Julie, amen. So the prophet is in this book. They gave the word to our founders. Amen. Dick Mills, a popular speaker with motivational gift of teaching and the ministry of the gift of prophet, has an almost insatiable love for books, especially versions of the Bible he regularly quotes from 25 translations. He can't pass a Christian bookstore without slipping inside to see if they have any new research books. One day his wife, that's the prophet Dick Mills' wife, amen. One day his wife, Betty, observed that Dick's books had filled all the available spaces around the house. How many men have wives, amen, that have taken the house over, amen, that at one time was available, amen? You guys are playing it safe. I guess I'm going to play it safe, too. I'm going to look at my wife. Okay. So, praise the Lord. Amen? One day, his wife, Betty, observed that Dick's books had filled all the available spaces around the house and were now spilling over to her kitchen counters. Amen? Before long, they were appearing on the dresser, on the nightstand, then stacked up in corners. That was it. Amen. Dick, she announced, I can't stand it. I can't even clean house without having to move stacks of books. Either they go or I go. That was the wife of the prophet. See, it happens in everybody's houses. Don't feel bad. Amen. Tell your neighbor, tell your spouse, tell your kids, shake it off. Either they go or I go. Well, Dick didn't want to lose his wife, but neither did he want to lose his books. He went to the local lumber store, and soon a new addition appeared in their house. You guessed it, he added on a library. So he pleased the wife, amen, and kept his books, amen. Praise the Lord. Four, enjoys word studies. Teachers are fascinated with words. They like to investigate the root meanings and the Greek or Hebrew counterparts. They see words as the building blocks of communication. They want to use words well and correctly. They will often check out a word in a reference like W.E. Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words to determine the precise meaning of the original Greek. They also enjoy topical studies with aids like Nate's Topical Bible or Harper's Topical Concordance. Sometimes the study of just one word will lead the teacher into hours of pursuit as one insight leads to another. When Dick Mills teaches, he often will take a single verse of scripture and spend time explaining the facets of meaning in each major word in it, quoting a variety of authorities. The verse comes alive. Amen? Number five, prefers to use biblical illustrations rather than life illustrations. Amen. I like using biblical illustrations tied in with life. It's illustrations. Amen. prefers to use biblical illustrations rather than life illustrations. Amen? The Bible is the ultimate authority for teachers. Even if they do not understand a particular verse, they believe that it is their own lack of knowledge, not the scripture passage, that is the problem. It is a source of new understanding yet to be discovered. Teachers quote literally from the Bible, often using stories, parables, or characters to prove or illustrate a point. They can trust this source. Life illustrations are another matter. They are by their very nature subjective. They are not, in the teacher's estimation, a reliable rock upon which to build. A teacher may use personal anecdotes to enhance a point, but only after the point is well illustrated by scripture. I find that this is my tendency. For instance, when I develop a teaching on the subject of anger, I first studied what the Bible had to say about it in these passages. Jesus teaches about, let's go to number six. Gets upset when scripture is used out of context. Amen? I let it slide when someone is using a scripture out of context. You know why? Ask me why. Because there's times that I'm guilty, not knowingly can use a scripture out of context. So I would have more grace and mercy as a shepherd, as a pastor, than the teacher with the gift of teaching would with you. They would say, hey, wait a minute, it doesn't really mean that. You're wrong. They'll go there. They'll go there. They'll put you under the bus. Amen? Six, gets upset when scripture is used out of context. Wow. Does this unpardonable action ever drive the teachers up the wall? Amen? To them, it is like fingernails across a chalkboard. They are so concerned for the integrity of teaching, be it spoken or written, that they cannot help but lose confidence in any person who proof texts a point with a disregard of the true sense of a passage. Amen? Let's go to number seven. Feels concerned that truth be established in every situation. I'm like that, amen? I can't let somebody walk away with a lie, amen? I play that one a little tighter, amen? Feels concerned with the truth be established in every situation, amen? Whether it's in business, education, religion, human relationship, or any other area of life, teachers want truth to prevail. It is the foundation, the anchor, the framework within which they can securely work. Amen? Let's go to the next one. Number eight. It's more objective than subjective. Amen? In general, men tend to be more objective and women more subjective. Amen? There are, of course, exceptions, but when a man has the motivational gift of teaching, we see the most objective type of person of all. Such men often become research scientists, business analysts, or judges. Women with the motivational gift of teaching go into similar fields, and it is not unusual for them to hear, amen, a shrouded compliment like, for a woman, you are amazingly objective. You know, I've always said that for a woman, you did pretty good right there. Amen? Teachers look at life with a certain detachment. They participate, but without their emotions getting in the way. That's not me, man. My emotions, man. I tell Pastor Felipe, I'm a crybaby, man. I'm sorry if I got to bring you up on this. I get emotional. And he'll look at me like, why, Pastor? Why? Because he has the gift of teaching. Amen. But I can tell them, right? You say everything, right? You tell me, I tell them everything, okay? Nobody putting anybody on the bus? Here comes the bus. Amen. So the one on compassion, he didn't score real low, but it was lower than this gift of the teacher. Amen. So I scored real high on compassion. At least today I do. But when I got saved, I had no compassion for nobody. Amen. I really didn't care what you thought. Amen. Let's go to the backyard. It didn't matter to me. Amen. But as I continued to grow in the Lord, little did I know that was one of my big gifts, having a shepherd's heart. But it had to be developed. It had to be developed over the many, many years. I wouldn't even consider that I had that gift. So if somebody does something to me, I get hurt, Jack. I'll play it off. Oh, you want to say that? You know, it's your prerogative. Bobby Brown or somebody like that, some Brown brother. I do what I want to do. And I'll hug you, I'll still love you, but when you walk away, I say, man, that wasn't cool, man. Good thing I got saved. Because back in the day, but it hurts me, man. And sometimes it takes a day for shake off, 2 days. I came just recently to Pastor Flea, I says, man, I hurt right now. And it was something that you would probably laugh at if I was to tell you what it was about. But for me, having that gift of compassion, man, it was ripping my heart out, man. It was like, kill me, man. I had a big old sword in my heart. And I can't operate like that. And I told Pastor Felipe, man, I don't know if this is the devil or is it the Lord. But either one, man, it don't feel good. And I go to my wife, man, I haven't shook it off yet, man. I haven't shook it off, man. The devil or the Lord is still on me. But the difference between me and the next man, I'm not going to give up, whether it's the devil or the Lord. Even though I have the gift of compassion, I know God's greater than my feelings. So I get in my feelings, and sometimes that can be very profitable, and sometimes it can work against me. Really, really, really loving you guys sometimes messes me up bad, really bad. The teacher, on the other hand, say, well, let's go forward. Amen. So this is the way the different gifts, but as Pastor Felipe continues to grow, he don't know it, but he might score very high in the gift of compassion because he's in position and always endlessly always growing. He might have that gift, and it's probably going to come out even stronger than the gift of the teacher. Because if you're going to be a shepherd, that gift of compassion's got to get in there. It's got to get developed to be the shepherd of a church, of an end-time church, a shepherd over a people like you guys. Yeah, some of you viewing through Facebook also. Your problems made me stronger. And like the kids used to do in school. I just lost a few people right there saying, yeah, pastors, TMI, whatever, amen? All right, the bus pulled out, amen. It might come back again, amen? I kept it PG though, amen? That's Felipe, you owe me a taco, amen? Where are we at? Number 7? 9. That sounds better. 9? 9. 9. Man, we're going to do this. We're going to do this. Easily develops and uses a large vocabulary. That's not me. And I thank the Lord that he gave me a church from the hood and not from the suburb. Homeboy, my dog, keep it 100. It hurts when I'm around professional people to talk polish. It hurts. And sometimes it slips out. Sometimes, just say, you got it, man. That's slang. It sounds real clean, but when you're talking to my neighbor, he looks at me like, you got it, man. And he knows I'm a pastor and everything. He just don't know the pastor in the church. I'm over, amen? Easily develops and uses a large vocabulary, amen? Teachers use words well and are fond of learning new ones. Even as children, they enjoy word games. Scrabble, I hate Scrabble. A Boogle and crossword puzzles, I've never done one. I'm not a teacher, amen, but I might become one. I don't know, Pastor Felipe. I'll let you know when it happens, amen. If you hear me say, I don't care. I might have got it, amen, and lost the gift of compassion, amen. But I say, I don't care. Pastor, might have got the gift of the teacher. Let me see where we're at. Love Scrabble and Boggle crossword puzzles. They are good communicators. Amen. I've learned to be a good communicator. Amen. I never was a good communicator, and I've still got a lot to grow in that area. Often eloquent and commanding in their speech. Several years ago, I was one of the speakers at the Billy Graham Writers Conference in Calgary, Canada. The banquet speaker was Philip Yancey, author of many books, including Where is God When It Hurts? His speech was marvelous, eloquent, polished. As an editor, I mused it would be almost possible to take a transcript of what he said and print it without any editing at all. Later that evening, I was talking with Philip. Your speech, magnificent. You see the big words? It ain't coming, man, but praise the Lord. I told you in the beginning, that ain't my gift. I told him, how long did it take you to prepare it? I assumed he had worked on it for weeks. Well, he confided, to tell you the truth, I put it together on the flight up here this morning. Basically, I just jotted some notes on the back of an envelope. As we all talked a bit more, I realized that he spoke eloquently all the time. I do it sometimes. Amen? Even his casual conversation was polished and impressive. Get out of here, dude. Obviously, his motivational gift was that of, you guessed it, the teacher. Number 10, emphasizes facts and the accuracy of words. I know some of you are tired by now, as much as I am right now, speaking on this gift. Amen? Now I know what some of you felt like when you didn't have the gift I had. Amen? Teachers are not so interested in opinions. They want facts. Facts are the building blocks of their lives. This combines with their exceptional objectivity and ability to use words well and accurately and to make them gifted in editorial work. They make great copy editors. Like a homing pigeon, they readily find their target, misspelled words, improper grammar, and inadequate vocabulary. Amen? Let's go to the next one. I got tired of that one. Amen? Number 11. I apologize for those that have the gift that are viewing through Facebook, amen. If I didn't do it with a wholeheartedly for you, I'll tell you where to go buy the book, amen. You're welcome. I heard you say thank you. You're welcome. Number 11, checks out the source of knowledge of others who teach, amen. Whenever we teach a motivational gift seminar, it is the teachers who come up to us at the close of the session to say, now where did you get all this information? This has happened so often that now we usually include an explanation in the presentation itself. Amen? Let's go to the next one, number 12. Prefers teaching believers over engaging in evangelism. Evangelism is raw, baby. Amen? You got to have a little bit of coda and compassion in the coda. Amen? Prefers teaching believers over engaging in evangelism. Mm-hmm. When it comes to evangelism, the teacher keeps a low profile. He or she, Brother Jason, you ain't got the gift of teaching. He or she will lead people to Jesus Christ, but usually in circumstances where a bridge of relationship or friendship has already been built. See, some of you guys can come behind what I've done, but to take them in from the real beginning, raw business, es otra onda, that's another thing, amen? Aggressive types of evangelism are not appealing to the teacher. I'm aggressive when I get the mic. I was once a drug addict, a heroin addict. I used to deal dope, eat dope, spill dope. I did prison time. And then I would go, boo! I got that one. The teacher will run, I want to let you know that Jesus loves you. They'll use all these polished words in the hood. It just don't fit, amen? Aggressive types of evangelism are not appealing to the teacher. They are definitely not drawn to street witnessing or door-to-door evangelism. But they are glad that others make these efforts. That's us, man. We do the dirty work, man. We take it to the hood, amen? And once new people have been won to the Lord, the teacher will spend endless hours joyfully teaching the new converts. Heavy Revy. Tell your neighbor, rally season's around the corner. And if you got the gift of teaching, you better hit that mic like you don't, or like you're an aggressive teacher or something like that. Amen? 13, Fields Bible study is foundational to the operation of all the gifts. That's why the life groups are so important. The gang, God's anointed now generation, getting them while they're early, amen? Instead of waiting as long as I did, amen? Teachers cannot imagine anything more important than studying the Bible. They believe it is the foundation upon which all the gifts operate. Their thinking goes something like this. Let's go into the mind of Pastor Felipe this day, amen? How can the perceiver perceive accurately unless she has a solid understanding of the Bible? Too many prophets out there don't know God's word. And they'll say, thus says the Lord. Lord ain't got nothing to do with it. I mean, you gave the three little pigs parable. It wasn't even in the Bible. It's the way the teacher thinks. Amen? How can the server serve well if he is not acquainted with the biblical reasons for service? Oh, Pastor, all I want to do is serve. You got to read the Bible. Because if that is your gift, the Bible says to do it well. How can the teacher teach unless she has studied scriptures thoroughly? How can the exhorter exhort effectively unless he knows biblical basis for his exhortations? Amen? So the teacher's going through all the seven motivational gifts right now. They're saying that the word of God is foundation to all of them, and I agree 100%. If you're going to use your gift well to do certain things well, you're going to have to use your gift based on what God's word says, not what you say. Amen? That goes for all, not just the teacher. How can the giver give properly if she is not aware of the biblical guidelines for giving? How can the administrator be an effective leader unless he understands God's will as revealed in the word? And how can the compassionate person minister God's love if she does not encounter that love in the Bible? In other words, there's all types of loves out there in the world, amen? It don't mean it's the love of God. That was a heavy one there, man. Let's read it again. How? Because it has the compassionate gift in there, amen? That's worth repeating. How can the compassionate person minister God's love if she does not encounter that love in the Bible? Nothing says the teacher is more foundational than studying the Bible. 14, solves problems by starting with scriptural principles. Amen? Teachers believe that there is an answer to every problem in God's word, if not an actual example or principle, at least by implication. Amen? That the teacher is, I'm convinced of it. Every time I counsel now, scripture comes up in my spirit. Amen. To tie it in to say, this is what God's telling you, not what I have to say. But in order for my life to give you counseling to God's word, I first had to learn God's word. Amen. 15 is intellectually sharp. Intellectually sharp. These are the ones you don't want to invite over to play Trivial Pursuit. Don't invite Pastor Felipe if you're going to come with all these games and or play Trivial Pursuit. They'll win for sure. The fact is that God has gifted these, the mind of the body of Christ, with what? Let's go really quick to the body diagram. Real quick body diagram. So we go to the teacher at the real top, and it don't point towards the neck, towards the mouth. It don't point towards the ear. Points towards the brain. I know, people, I know. It's okay. That's why there's seven gifts. If you don't got it, it's fine. We're okay, man. I'm with you. I feel you. I feel you, man. I'm with you. The fact is that God has gifted these, the mind of the body of Christ, with what they need to be successful in their sphere. Amen. A high IQ. They are often brilliant. They were good students in schools. Not me. Amen? Love to study. Never studied. Amen? Not me. Were self-motivated and often came home with straight A's. Big deal. No, you celebrate your kids that they're smart. I like the stickers that say on the car, my kid is an honor roll student. I hate it, but I got to smile at it. I got the gift of compassion. Amen? Praise the Lord. It's a good thing to have smart kids. Amen? Number 16 is self-disciplined. Mix a good dose of seriousness with a lot of objectively. Add a love for truth and a keen mind, and you have the ingredients for self-discipline. Number 17 is emotionally self-disciplined. Control. This is a good one. Listen up. Amen. Is emotionally, que andas bien de la cabeza. Amen. Self-control. If you're still losing it, you may not have this gift, or it just may not be developed yet. Of all the motivational gifts, this is the one that grants the greatest emotional equilibrium. Let's balance. Amen. Some people have emotional ups and downs that track like the pathway of a roller coaster ride. Amen? Others have a smoother patterns of ups and downs with only occasional jolting and bumps. I think that's me. But the teacher's graph of mood swings looks more like a horizontal line. Almost like they're dead. Amen? In the operating room, we call that redlining. Where is there? Beep, beep, beep. And then it goes beep. That's the teacher. Teachers are highly analytical. They believe reasonable choices can resolve potentially volatile situations. When someone's upset, they may advise, calm down. Man, I come different than that. Amen? And I got the gift of compassion. Calm down. You can, you know. At our prayer counseling training sessions, we staged a little melodrama to illustrate just that point. The scene is a home. The wife is stirring the pot, looking again and again at her watch, like some of you, I know what time it is, amen? The wife is stirring the pot, looking again and again at her watch. Furious looks flash across her face, like, Pastor, ¿cuándo? Amen? Finally, her husband comes in the door, obviously late again. He offers a weak excuse, and his wife goes into a tirade of complaints about the inconsiderateness
I know what inconsiderate man, but they put another five letters on inconsiderate right there. See, that's the teacher that wrote this. Amen? He retaliates with complaints about her temper. The argument escalates, the wife becoming all but hysterical with rage. Get control of yourself, the husband demands. I can't, she screams. Amen? It happens with everybody. But this was a little drama stage they set up. It gets good. Then the telephone rings. Amen? The telephone pierces the commotion. The wife that says, I can't, picks up the phone. Receiver and says, hello. She calmly coos into the phone. Why, Charlotte, how good to hear from you. No, I wasn't doing a thing. Yes, we're both fine. How about you? On and on she goes, completely in control. The point is, it's not that she can't control her emotions when arguing with her husband. She won't. It's a matter of choice. Me and my wife always joke about that. We can be fine like cats and dogs. She'll pick up, hi, how you doing? We laugh and laugh. And sometimes you guys call. It's in bad timing. And we laugh and laugh and laugh. It's having the poker face. I teach the leadership that. Last one, verse 20. So this lady was yelling at her old man, said she couldn't control it. But then the phone rang and she went calm, amen? Number 20, believes truth itself has the power to produce change, amen? When teachers teach, they present the truth without necessary explaining to their listeners. This is a good one in closing, amen? When the teachers teach, they present the truth without necessary explaining to their listeners how to apply that truth in their lives. See, I will go way beyond to apply, to break it down. I'll talk to you for hours to show you how to do it, not the teacher. Amen? Their listeners how to apply that truth to their lives. Teachers believe the application of the truth is the job of the Holy Spirit. Amen? That's not me. Amen? I will work with you, counsel you. The teacher won't. The teacher will just give you the teaching, the instruction, and walk away. They rely on the person of the Holy Spirit to give the breakdown to you. They're not the one that's going to give the breakdown. Amen? You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. John 8, 32, NIV. It is a favorite verse of the teachers. The teacher says, all you got, like me, if I had to give a teacher, I'd say, man, after this message, man, you're on your own. Holy Ghost going to take care of you. Holy Ghost is one of the attributes is a teacher. Amen? He going to teach you. I'm done. It is the favorite verse of teachers. They assume that others will respond to truth in the same way that they do, as being energizing and liberating. Teachers are even able to teach truth they themselves have not yet appropriated. Amen? This is a good analogy here. Amen? On how powerful the truth is, even if the person don't break it down to you. Amen? And closing. One summer, I worked as a counselor at a private girls' camp on the beautiful wooded shores of Lake Winnipesaukee, you know the word, in New Hampshire, amen? One of my responsibilities was to teach swimming, amen? For which I was provided an instruction manual. So her job was to teach swimming, and a book, a manual on the different strokes of swimming was given to her, amen? All went well until I got to the lesson on the breaststroke. You guys know what the breaststroke is? It's the one where you go like this, and then you got a frog kick. I was on the swimming team. I was a lifeguard. I was all that. My kids didn't believe it, man, until we went to a hotel one day, and Daddy was shoo, shoo, shoo. I can still do it. Racing dives, all that stuff. Amen. Yeah, they stopped saying that I couldn't swim after that one. Amen. Teaches. Let me see. Emmanuel. All went well until I got to the lesson on the breaststroke. I had been a reasonably good swimmer all my life, but this was one stroke I was never able to master. It's the simplest of all the swimming strokes, amen? The breaststroke is easy peasy, man. I memorized the directions. So the teacher that was giving the lessons on swimming and on this one type of the breaststroke, amen, memorized the directions. She wasn't good at it. Then walked out on the dock and instructed the girl step by step. She didn't jump in the water and show them how to do it. She gave the instructions how to do it. Amen? They did it. And I couldn't do it myself. It's heavy. No matter the instructions worked. The instructions worked. Later, I slipped into the water myself and following what I had taught, swam my first breaststroke. That's why instructions are so important, people. Try it. You might be like Mikey. You might like it. Most with other gifts would have practiced before class, but the teacher has confidence that whatever is truth will be effective. Heavy, heavy, heavy. Amen. As we stand here this day, amen. I'm so excited, man. We're done with the gifts. Next Sunday, I'm going to be sharing on the 20 characteristics of these seven motivational gifts, 20 characteristics of Jesus, how Jesus applied all these gifts, amen, that he has given to each and every one of our lives. Remember, on the way out, you're going to be getting a handout that gives the seven motivational gifts that we had gone over, and you're going to write them down. You're going to count them up each week. You add them all up. It'll come out to 50, 30, 20, 70, 80. I think the highest you can get is 100. The lowest you can get is a zero. Amen? And at the end, you add them all up, and it'll let you know where you're at. Amen? So thank you for coming. If you're here for the first time, Facebook, we love you. God bless you. And we're going to close with a word of prayer here this day. Father, we thank you. We love you. We give you all the glory and all the honor, Lord. We thank you for your word. B-I-B-L, basic instructions before leaving earth, Lord. That we all got to learn your word, what you say, and how you want it done if we're going to operate effectively and do certain things well with the gifts that you have given us because they're based off your word, Lord. So I challenge every man, every woman, every young adult, those viewing through Facebook, that the foundation of your gifts to be used well is God's word. Father, touch every man, every woman, every young adult this day. In your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. God bless each and every one of y'all. Love you guys. If you have any questions, my wife and I are here for you. Love you guys. Go and be in the presence of the Lord. Remember to get your printout on the way out. And I'm going to be here for a while. If anybody wants to speak to me in regards to the grading, amen, I'm here for you. God bless.